All right, who can remind me what we've been studying? Because this is week three of studying the same verse. Do you guys remember what verse it is? We've already had two full weeks of only one verse. How many of you guys remember? Do you know what book it's from? Anybody remember? Oh, good. Good job, everyone. That was fake, by the way. Yes, bow down. All right, we remember a little bit what we talked about. What else did we talk about then? If you don't remember the verse, do you remember anything we said about the verse? Holiness last week. So the first week we looked at bowing down. You've almost just quoted the verse to me basically by saying that. I bow down. It's Psalm 138:2. If you guys can throw that on the screen for me. Psalm 138:2 is the verse that we've been looking at. Just one verse for three whole weeks, and we've only been looking at like a couple words a night. And the first night was I bow down. You're right. And we talked about what it looks like to bow down. What does that mean? And then last week we talked about, it says, toward your holy temple. And we talked about holiness and that as we bow down, God wants us to bow to Him because He's holy. He's different from everything else. He's bigger and better than everything else. And He wants us to bow only to Him. So we looked at that last week. And now this week we're going to finish up our verse. All right. We got a few more words than just two or three tonight. But we're going to finish the verse tonight. So Psalm 138:2, let me read it to you. You guys can read on the screen. It says, I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Now, how many of you guys like Thanksgiving? Anybody like Thanksgiving? Yeah, well, how can you not like Thanksgiving, right? You get lots of food. There's always a big turkey. Some people have like other crazy traditions too. Like we eat lasagna with our Thanksgiving meal. Anybody else have a crazy tradition like that too? Like, yeah, I'm on the Italian side of my family. We do like, so, you know, we do stuff like that. There's lots of food. There's never, ever, ever anybody that goes hungry in our home on Thanksgiving, all right? Now, there is a tradition that we have, though, as we sit around our table, and some of you guys might do this, too. I don't know. But as we sit around the table at Thanksgiving, we all take a turn and we say something that we're thankful for. Any of y'all do that? Anybody in your families, you like do like, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? And you go around. Is it ever hard for you to think of something like at the table? Yeah, like a lot of you guys are like, uh-huh. Why do you think it's so hard as you're sitting there and your family's all around and you're smelling that delicious turkey and gravy? I'm getting hungry right now. Oh, and you're like, all right, everybody take a turn. What are you thankful for? And it's like, uh-oh, they're getting closer. And the next person goes, uh-oh, it's almost my turn. And then you're down to like two people and you're like racking your brain. Like, what am I going to say? And then finally it's your turn. And then all of a sudden you're like, ah. Like, have you ever found that difficult to come up with something? Why do you think that is? Any ideas? True, right? You get nervous, you get the turkey shakes, you know? What else?
Well, maybe there's so many things to be thankful for.
Wow! You just blew my whole sermon. I just forget it. We're good. We're good for tonight. Let's go home then. No, that could be. What else? Casey, yeah. Whoops. Someone stole yours? Yeah, that could be too. That's possible. Now, what if I were to say, don't just give me an answer because I'm asking you and we're all doing it of what you're thankful for. Like, you can't just think something up just so that you have something to say. But it has to be something that you are thankful for, like, at the core of who you are. Like, you are so stinking thankful for this thing, and that's the only way you can share it. Would that be even harder? Wow, there were a lot of heads going, yep. I'm not even going to ask you why you think that is tonight, but I want you to be thinking that in your head as we go over the rest of this verse. So through the rest of the time that we're talking together tonight, ask yourself that question. Why is it hard to not just come up with an answer, but even harder to come up with an answer that I really, really believe in my heart about what I'm thankful for? And so as we read this kind of first chunk of what we're looking at tonight, it says, and give thanks. And that's the part I want us to stop for a second and just talk about. Because in Psalm 138:1, the verse before this, at the beginning of the passage, David doesn't just say, hey, I'm giving thanks to you, God. He doesn't just say that. Look what he says in Psalm 138:1. He says this, I give you thanks, O Lord. What's the next couple words? With my whole heart. Like, this isn't just come up with a quick answer so we have something to say and we can eat the turkey and get this thing going, right? Head to the pies. This is, I mean this. With everything inside of me, I am so thankful for this. You can't just come up with an answer that normal, you know, we normally do. Like, I'm thankful for my dog. I love my dog. You know, like, that's mine. I'm thankful for family. Or sometimes we just come up with an answer. And as David's singing this out to God, he's not just saying words to God because he needs something to say. He's crying out to God because deep down in the very center of who he is so thankful. His whole heart just wants to scream it out. And that's what this psalm is. It's him screaming out to God in form of song to say, God, I am thankful with all of me. My whole heart is wrapped up in this. Now, if you're anything like me, you're probably sitting there going, man, I don't remember the last time I felt that thankful about anything. Like, if you were to think right now in your head and I were to ask you, pretend we're at the Thanksgiving table together right now, and I'm the one to carve a turkey, so I get to ask the question, right? What do you guys, how would you answer that? Don't raise your hands, but I want you to think about it. How would you answer that? Is there some stuff in your life that you could literally go, this is what I'm thankful for with my whole heart? And are those things that really matter? Remember, we just talked about Philippians. And in the book of Philippians, we saw some really big truths about what really matters in life. Those things that are in your heart that you're thankful for, would they be something that God says, this really does matter? And so David's crying this out. He says, my whole heart, I'm thankful, God. And that brings us to that verse that we're on, verse 2, right afterwards. And he says, and so I bow down. You see that? When we're thankful, it causes us to respond. Let's say Steve was my really, really, really good buddy, such a good buddy, that he went out and bought me a red Ferrari. Brand new one, 2017, not even 16. That's like 2 years ahead, right? Somehow he did it. And he brings it outside. He's like, Rob, here's the keys. It's yours. You're my good buddy. I'm going to be like, bro, you are the greatest dude in the entire world, right? I'm going to sing his praises. I'm going to be like, you're so awesome, Steve. Why? Because he just did this awesome thing, and I'm so grateful for this that I'm going to say some awesome stuff about Steve because I'm so thankful for what he did. Now, what if I didn't have a thankful heart? What if Steve came up and brought me that Ferrari? I was like, man, you know I like Lamborghinis. Why'd you bring me this Ferrari? Right? There's a totally different attitude there. Now, I know in the passage we're not talking about cars or even physical things at all, but there's a truth I want you to see. That when there's thanksgiving, when there's thankfulness in our hearts, it causes us to do something. It causes us to speak great things about the person who's doing it. And here, this is what David's doing. He's able to say, I bow down and worship you, God. I speak these great things over you because I'm so grateful and thankful in my heart over something you've done. It's huge. It's big. So you're like, Rob, okay, I have a hard time at the Thanksgiving table, and I probably have a hard time tonight talking about like what we're thankful to God for. If I were to ask you tonight, what kind of things would you pray to him right now? If you were sitting at the table, it was just you and God and the turkey, and you were like, God, this is what I'm thankful to you for. Do you have things that you could tell him? Would there be things in your heart that would cause you to go, I want to tell you that this, you're awesome because of this, God? What are some things that you would say to him that would cause you to be like, you're just so great? Because we have a hard time worshiping if we don't have gratefulness and thankfulness in our hearts. She's like, well, then how do I do it, Rob? Am I just like stuck? I can't do anything about this then? Here's what you do. You start looking. Start looking for what? I want you to start looking for the ways that God is blessing you and doing some great stuff in your life. And you're like, what does that mean? Well, look at the next part. He says, and give thanks to your name for what? He found two awesome things. David's helping us cheat here. He's giving us some answers. This is what caused him to be thankful and what caused him to worship God. So let's see if it's the same for us. Give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. And you're like, that's a big word. What's steadfast love mean? I'll stop for a second. I want to see if there's any geniuses in the room. Because I know there's always geniuses among us. You guys are very smart. There's more and more every day. What does steadfast love mean? Yeah. Ooh. That's definitely a part of the meaning. Absolutely. What else? Is there anything else it can mean? Ooh. Everlasting. You both hit on the everlasting part. That's awesome. Yeah. Complete and whole. Yeah, that's part of it too. Any other thoughts? The correct answer? Yes, the correct answer is the correct answer. You're right. You've stumped me. I love it. all of those things come into play. It also means this, right? It means it's unconditional. God has an unconditional and extremely patient love. Like you guys said, it just goes on and on and on. It doesn't stop. And when you mess up, He doesn't go, oh, it's all done. You lost it. He goes, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. If you've ever read the Old Testament and you've seen kind of how His people, the people of Israel, had this relationship with Him, they would love Him and then they'd go worship idols. And He'd be like, I forgive you. Then they go love Him again and then they worship idols. He'd be like, I forgive you. And it felt like it happened every other week. They were just turning their back on God. You know what He did? I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. His love didn't end. It was unconditional and it was steadfast. And sometimes in our like friendships and stuff, it's easy for us to do the exact opposite. We're like, yeah, we're buddies until you like even look at that girl that I like. And then we're done, dude. We're throwing down out in the recess field. Like, boom, that fast. Like, or we're fighting over a girl. Like, it's all over. Or I saw the way you looked at my notebook. And oh, and we're fighting in the hallway because you looked at my notebook wrong. Like, it seems so like quick and temporal. God's love's not like that. God's love says, I forgive you, I forgive you, I love you, I'm not giving up on you, I'm going to keep pursuing you. My love is steadfast and unconditional toward you. It's awesome. Guys, it's a love that you've never probably ever experienced on this earth. I know you've never experienced on this earth. Because God's so much bigger and so much better. And He's the only one that can give this type of love. And the word, I'm going to teach you how to say it in Hebrew because it's just awesome. You get to spit. Who doesn't want to spit? It's fun. All right, ready? But don't spit on your neighbor. I spit saying the word spit. Did you see that? I was like, psst, like a camel. Okay, so here it is. You ready? You're going to do this with your jaw. Loosen it up. Loosen your tongue up. You ready? Shake your arms out a little bit because you got to like be ready. It's hard to pronounce. It's Hebrew, okay? Here it is. You need to get way down in the back of your throat, almost like you're hawking a loogie, and say, chesed. Yeah, spit a little bit more. Chesed. Yeah, that's great. Some of you got a loogie in your friend's eyeball. That was good. Good job. Chesed is unconditional, steadfast love. And it's used over and over and over throughout the Old Testament. Every time we talk about God's love for His people, it's the word chesed, which is incredible because He doesn't give up on us. So you're like, Rob, okay, we're working on this thankfulness thing. I still remember we're at the table. How do I become more thankful if I'm not? I told you to start looking. I want you to look at your life and see where God has taken His fingerprints of His chesed, His love, His unconditional love for you, and just smeared His fingers all over your life to say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Think about the awesome family that He's given you. Some of us are very lucky with that. Some of us are lucky to have friends that love us. Some of us are lucky to have a church family that's surrounding us. Some of us are lucky that God just looks down and says, look, I love you no matter who you are or what you've done or what kind of sin is in your life. And in the middle of your sin, I'm sending my Son to die for you, to save you and to forgive you, even while you're sinning. Romans tells us that. That's love, y'all. That's a fingerprint smeared over your life saying, no matter what you've done, I still love you. Will you take some time, even tonight as I'm talking, I'll give you permission to space out if that's what you need to do to figure this out while I'm talking, to think about the fingerprints of His chesed, His love, that is all over your life. Because the more of that you see, of His steadfast love and His faithfulness to you, the more it's going to well up thanksgiving in your heart. Like, God, you did that for me? God, you did this over here and I never even noticed. I just walked right by it. I didn't even think about it. And all of a sudden you start to see His fingerprints that you weren't looking before. You just didn't see it. And the more you see it, the more you're grateful. And you're like, wow, I have so many things that I could share if I were at the table with you right now, God. And that thankfulness causes you to speak great things, causes you to bow down like we're talking about and worship Him because of all that He's done for His steadfast love and His faithfulness. Any of you guys ever watch Bear Grylls? Any of Bear Grylls fans? Yeah, right? Okay, good. We got some fans in here. Well, Bear Grylls is this guy, if you don't know what I'm talking about, who goes out and does like crazy nature type things. He'll climb the highest cliffs and go through like rivers and do all this awesome stuff. He'll eat grubs and bugs and survive anywhere on the earth. It's just awesome. And so that got boring just watching him do it by himself. So he decided, I'm going to take people with me that don't know what they're doing, right? And so we're going to see their reaction now and how they can like kind of deal with all the craziness he does. So I saw this one episode a while back where he brought somebody up this like big, crazy like mountain. And it got nighttime, it got really dark, and they're way up the mountain. And he's like, we have nowhere to sleep because the mountain's like, by now is like basically a cliff. And it's dark, so he's like, we have to sleep here. And they're like, where? There's no ground. It's a cliff. Like, where are we going to sleep? So he pulls out these, like, hammock sleeping bag type things. And they, like, kind of, like, punch him into the side of the cliff. They lock him into the rock. And they sleep in those. See, I'm still spitting. I'm practicing my chesed. So they're sleeping in those. But it's dark. No big deal. They go to sleep. Sun comes up the next morning. Bear Grylls wakes up to his, like, friend screaming like at the top of their lungs. He's like, what? He thought they fell out and they died. You're like, whatever. So he like opens up their hammock and they're in there just screaming. He's like, what's your problem? Well, when they woke up, the sun was up and they could actually see just how high they really were off the ground. They didn't know the night before. It was too dark. And when they woke up, they're like, I can't believe you made me sleep here all night long. Like if they had rolled out, they would have just plummeted like 500 feet to the ground and just died. And they're just freaking out because they had no idea. Their eyes hadn't been opened to just how big that thing was. And some of us, believers, we're just like that when we're talking about the love of God. This steadfast love, man, we're just kind of in the dark with it. And then all of a sudden, as we start to actually look and start to actually see what God's doing for you in your life, the people He's bringing around you, all the different ways He's blessing you and how much He loves you. It's like waking up on the side of a cliff and that's His love and it's just so huge. You never knew before. And you're just like, whoa! God, you're so big! Like your love is so incredible. I had no idea because when I went to bed, it was still dark. When I woke up, God, you opened my eyes because now I'm looking. I'm looking to find those ways where you're putting your fingerprints all over my life. It's causing me to be grateful, and it's causing me just to yell out to you like they did in the hammock. Just scream out to God, wow, you're big. Wow, you're awesome. Your love is so huge. I had no idea. And so I wanted us to just look for a second through Scripture, just a couple verses that talk to us about this like thankfulness. Why should we be thankful? Where are some fingerprints that we could start off looking? So 2 Timothy 1:9. I want you to look at that verse real quick. The first thing I've kind of already mentioned, and it's the most important. It says here in 2 Timothy 1:9, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, nothing we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. You see those first couple words? He saved us. If you've received Jesus as your Savior tonight, if you've trusted in God, remember we talked about lining up behind Jesus and saying, lead me down this football field to victory, Jesus. Like, I line up behind you. He saved you. You get to spend eternity with Christ, with God in heaven forever and not have to go to a place called hell and punishment. You get to be in relationship with Him right now as you live on this earth from the moment you trust in Him. It's awesome. And the greatest thing He'll ever do for you, the biggest fingerprint of love He'll ever leave on your life, is that He saved you. And so let that well up inside of you, this awesome thanksgiving of, I get to be with God forever. I get to go to heaven, and that should cause me to worship Him. And the next thing is Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verses 17 and 18. It says, but the steadfast love, there it is again, that word, chesed. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. Now, I'll stop right there. Do you see those two words? It's the same word, but said twice. Does it seem like a long time? Everlasting to everlasting? Like, do you think that ever ends? No. If you went into math class and you're like, you're going to be here from everlasting to everlasting, how would you respond? No! Like, this is torture! It's never going to end! But when we're talking about the chesed of God over you, the way your Creator loves you with everything that He is, and He's going to do it from everlasting to everlasting, there's no end, He'll never stop, that's a reason we should be thankful. That's a fingerprint of His love on our life. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will sustain you. You know, another reason why we're thankful is because He carries us through this life. Right now, I mean, we talk about heaven, we talk about the future, we talk about spiritual things, but you know that He's also promising that He will help you through right now, right here. Through middle school, because sometimes middle school feels like everlasting to everlasting, doesn't it? It's like, how am I going to get through? You know, like, this is hard. And God says, cast those burdens on me. Cast middle school on me. Cast friendships on me. Cast stress in school and sports and family problems and anything else in your life. All your burdens. Cast them on me. God says, I want to carry them for you. I want to sustain you and protect you and love you through right now, through this life. Man, from a God who says, I can do all things and I'm promising to be there for you, whoo, that's a promise. That's a fingerprint of love, and I hope you see it. I hope you see just how big He is, and He's promising you to always be there for you. That's a reason to be thankful to Him. 2 Peter 3:9. He says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. Let me stop there for a second. I'll finish reading the verse in a second. What He's saying here is, sometimes God comes and says a promise to us, or we pray to God, and we're like, look, God, You said You're going to do this. You said You're going to protect me. You said You're going to love me, but it's taking so long. Like, where are You? I'm hurting right now. And some of y'all may have even come tonight in a situation similar to that. And you come and your heart's heavy. And some of you might not want to go home tonight because there might be stuff going on in your own house and you're like, I don't even want to go back there. And some of y'all might be dreading school tomorrow because of situations that arise, because of bullying, because of friendships, because of whatever. And you're coming and you have a heavy heart tonight. God says, hey, you can cast these fears on me. And you're like, I have God and I've been praying about it and I've been asking You, but where are You? And sometimes we're quick to go, God, You're so slow. Like, help. Where are You right now? This is hurting. Well, we see here that He says, God's not slow to fulfill His promises as some of us might count it. God, Jesus, just come back already. You said You're coming back. Just kind of get us and take us to heaven and make everything perfect. And He's like, if I did that right now, you understand, if Jesus came right now, there's people all over this world that don't know Him. All over this world that if He came back right now would die and go to hell. And so as I'm like, Jesus, I need You back now. Come on. He's like, but what about all these people? Like my chesed for them, my love for them. I'm not slow. I'm the God of all creation. I'm not slow. I'm patient. And sometimes in His patience, when we're like, God, hurry up and fix this problem in my life, He's going, I'm not slow. I'm patiently teaching you something. I'm patiently growing you. I'm patiently doing the best for you, as He promises us in Romans. And so, I see this as a reason to be thankful. Because even though I might think He's being slow, He's giving us chances to grow and He's giving other people chances to accept Him. He loves us that much that He's patient. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, we see another reason. Check this out. It says, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Our God's faithful. And that's one of the reasons why David says, hey, I'm gonna worship You and give thanks because of Your steadfast love and Your faithfulness. And in 2 Thessalonians, we see God is faithful to us. He's not going to forget you or turn His back on you when other people might. He's always there for us. 1 Peter 5:10 is the last one. It says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." You see, the book of Peter was talking about people who were going through persecution and their lives were getting wrecked because they believed in Jesus Christ, and people were dying and people were being tortured, and there was a lot of stuff going on. And so they would cry out to God and say, "God, help us." But see, sometimes God allows certain things to happen to us so that we can learn something or grow. And so this verse says that after you suffered a little while, sometimes God does allow that to happen. I'm not saying tonight that if you believe in Jesus, everything's going to be perfect. I don't want you to hear that from me. But I do want you to hear that this verse says you might suffer for a while, but God will always be faithful to come back and restore you, confirm you, strengthen you, establish you. He will never forget you. He's just being patient. He's doing it for your good. And our job isn't to decide whether or not it's the right or wrong thing. Our job is to say, "God, I trust you because you know." Remember last week, comes out on the field and he says, "Look, I tried to do it my way, God. Now I'm trusting you to do it your way. And it might hurt a little bit, but I'm going to trust that you have my best in mind. So lead me down the field. Let's play. Let's do it your way." So you're wondering maybe tonight, "Rob, you keep saying he's faithful. You keep saying he's faithful. But I'm in that situation. I'm here. I'm hurting tonight. And I don't know if I see his faithfulness all around me. I don't know if I feel like he's being very loving to me tonight." Maybe you need to cry out the words of King David from this next psalm I'm going to read you. When he was in a very similar situation and his life's breaking and he just has to cry out to God. Listen to the words he says, "Hear, O Lord," in Psalm 27:7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me." I want to challenge you, if that's you tonight, if you're like, "Man, I'm hurting, Rob, and I'm not sure about God's faithfulness." Will you do what David's doing? Will you cry out and say, "God, hear me? God, hear me, I'm hurting. God, answer me." Will you start that conversation with him and just tell him the things that are in your heart? Tell him the hurts that are in your life? The things you're afraid of? Start that conversation and tell him those things. And remember that as you call out to him, he says he will answer. He will answer. If you keep your trust in him, check out this verse, Isaiah 26:3. It says, "You keep him in perfect peace." You see, when you call out to God like David's doing, he gives you this peace whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. Something awesome happens as you start to see God's fingerprints and you start to trust him more and more. You start to get a peace in your heart even through the hard times. And the longer you walk with God, the more you'll see this, because the more you start to trust him and the more you start to get a peace and saying, "He's going to take care of this one. I look to the past and I see he took care of me here. So when this happens over here, I can remember how faithful he was. And so all of a sudden when this thing hits me, I'm going to go, nope, I'm not listening to you, Satan. God was faithful then, he's going to be faithful now." And something else hits you, and something else hits you, and you can keep pointing back and going, "He was faithful. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you." And he gives you this perfect peace. All right. Those are just to get you started. I want to give you guys homework a little bit because it's school time. I want you in your own heads and your own hearts throughout this week, I want you to be thinking and looking. Look for ways where God is showing you his love and his faithfulness. Celebrate it. Tell him that. Thank him for it. Sing it out. Praise him. I don't care if you're sitting in your room or in the bathroom or taking a shower and you just want to sing in the shower so nobody can hear you because you can't sing very well. Whatever you want to do, but tell him, "God, thank you. I'm seeing these things. I'm seeing your love and your faithfulness." But you're not going to see them unless you look. All right? So I'm going to challenge you to look so you can be thankful for those things. The next thing David says is, First, because of your love and your faithfulness. Here's the other reason. I'm going to respond in thankfulness because Psalm 138:2, back on our verse again. The last part says, "For you have exalted above all things your name and your word." See, this is a response to God, not just because of what He's done that we just looked at, but just because of who He is. You know how big your God is? It's like waking up again. Just go back to the Bear Grylls story. It's like waking up in that hammock and looking out and going, "God, I never knew you were this big and awesome. If you had never done a thing for me, if you had never helped me out, if you had never done even saved me, if you have never anything, you would still be big and awesome. You would still be worthy of me falling on my face and praising you just because of who you are." Period. Philippians 2:9 tells us that. It promises us that. Saved or unsaved, whether you believe in Jesus or not, look at Philippians 2:9 to 11. It says, "Therefore God has highly exalted Him," talking about Jesus, "put Him in a place of worthiness, "and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow," like we're talking about tonight. I bow down. Every knee will bow. "In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He's King, that He's the one that's going to lead us down the field to victory, to the glory of God the Father." You see, we'll all be in a position where we bow one day. And the question is, how will you be bowing? Will you bow because you've seen His love and His faithfulness and you've seen how big He just is, and you willingly bow down and just thank Him for it and shout out praises to Him and give Him your life as your Lord? Or will you bow because you're His enemy still? Left in sin, never made holy and pulled out of your sin and held in a place of honor by the God that loves you? Will you still be His enemy because it says even His enemies will bow? There's a really cool part about this verse. I don't know if you noticed it. Did you guys see it there? "For you have exalted your name and your word." Who did this? Somebody came along and said, "All right, Jesus, here we go. I'm going to exalt your name." And did it for Him? He didn't need anybody to. He just is better than everything on the face of the earth and the entire universe and all of existence. And the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is better than everything. Colossians 1:17, 18 is the last verse I'm going to share with you, just to show you this, that Jesus Himself is a source of His own exaltation, His own glory, because He's a source of everything. Did you know that? Breathe for a second. Go, Jesus did that. I mean, you kind of did it, but Jesus was the source of that. Touch your heart, feel it. You feel a beat? It's only happening because Jesus is making that happen right now. Blink your eyes at me. Yeah. What are you blinking at me for? That's weird. Just kidding. You're able to blink your eyes because of Jesus. You're thinking. You're moving. You're here. We exist because Jesus is the source of everything. Colossians 1:17 and 18 says, "And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." You're not flying off into a billion little particles and dust, because Jesus is literally holding you together right now. Jesus, don't let me go. All right? Don't let me go. Hold me. I can trust that He will, because He has a steadfast love and a faithfulness that says, "I'm here for you." He holds us all together, and He is the head of the body, the church. That's us. He's our King, our Lord. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He's the first one who rose from the dead to give us life so we could go to heaven. That in everything He might be preeminent. That means the top. The best. You see, Jesus is just merely worth our worship. He's just that awesome that even if He did nothing for us, and He has, don't get me wrong, He'd be worth worshiping. And so, tonight, I just want to challenge you guys, because we got a lot to be thankful for. And we may have come here tonight and didn't have a clue what we would answer to that question if we were at the table. What would I be thankful for? I can't even tell my family what I'm thankful for, and they feed me and clothe me and everything else. How am I going to tell God what I'm thankful for? I can't even see Him. Hopefully tonight you saw a few things you could be thankful for, and hopefully tonight you saw that you need to be looking for those things. Once you see Him, can I challenge you with this as I close? Because I had a friend. He was an older guy, and I used to have lunch with him once in a while way back when. And we would go, we'd just meet and pray together and talk. And we met at this cafe. And as we sat one day, I knew some stuff about his life by this point. He had a hard life. He was divorced from his wife. He hadn't talked to his son in years. They got in some sort of argument over something that he had done, and his son wouldn't talk to him anymore. And this was a broken guy, but since that time, he had gotten saved, and he loved Jesus, and he was trying to make things right in his life. And his family just wanted nothing to do with him. So I would meet with this guy and pray, and we would sit at the cafe. And this one day, all of a sudden, his phone rings right in the middle of our conversation. And he just turned white. I mean, just white, white, white. And he's looking at his phone, and I'm like, are you going to answer that? And he's just like staring. I'm like, you okay? You all right, buddy? Like, it's a heart attack? Should I call it hospital or something? He's just staring. I'm like, you going to answer your phone? He's like, nope. Puts his phone down. Like, that was really weird. So I start asking him questions. All of a sudden, bling, bling, get a message. You gonna check that? He's like, nope. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? So finally he tells me that was my son. I haven't talked to my son in years. He won't talk to me. Now he's calling me on the phone. I don't know what I'll tell him. I don't know what I'll say. I don't even know if he's calling to like yell at me. I don't know. I can't answer the phone. I'm like, but you've missed him so much. You tell me every week how much you love him. Why won't you answer the phone? And finally, I convince him, at least listen to the message. His son just says, hey, call me back. I really want to talk to you. He wanted to forgive his dad. I want to tell you that I forgive you. Something had happened, maybe just enough time. I don't know, but he wanted to say, I forgive you and I love you. And he's sitting there, he's holding the phone. And I'm like, it makes sense. Just call. He's like, just dial, just hit send. And at that moment, he just looked at me like, I don't know what to do or how to do this. And I remember just telling him these words. I said, it's up to you. You have to respond. Can I tell you those same words tonight that I told him at that cafe? Because now you guys have seen this God who's tapping on your heart and he's calling and he's saying, I've done some awesome stuff for you. My son has died for you. Or I've already saved you and you should be living for me and you're not. And I just want to forgive you because I have a chesed for you. Love you. And I'm going to tell you the same words I told that guy in the cafe. It's up to you. You have to respond. Will you respond to Jesus tonight and say, God, you're awesome. I want to line up behind you and give you my life. I want to bow down and thank you and give you my life tonight. You guys just close your eyes for 1 second. Because I believe there's a few people here tonight that the Holy Spirit's been calling. He's been putting that phone call into your heart. He's been tapping on your heart for a while, a lot earlier than just tonight. And he's saying, you need to know Jesus is your Savior. You need to know that Jesus has saved you and forgiven you of your sins. If that's you tonight, if the Holy Spirit's been tapping and calling, will you respond? Will you let Him answer and forgive you? And if that's you, will you do me a favor? I want to pray for you. I want to be able to pray for you throughout the week and keep begging God to work in your heart. Will you just slide your hand up so I can see, so I know to pray for you? You say, Rob, just say a prayer for me. I want to know Jesus. You slide your hand up for me. And if you're here and you're like, man, I believe in Jesus. I've done that, but I have not been living like you're talking about. I haven't been bowing. I haven't been thankful for what He's done. I want that to happen in my heart. I want to start looking. Rob, pray for me that this week I'm going to go out and I'm going to start looking for His love and His faithfulness in my life. Will you pop your hand up just so I can pray for you this week as you're trying to do that and I can keep asking God to help you do that? Slide your hand up real quick for me just so I can see it. Father God, we love you so much. Lord, you see the hands that went up. You see the hearts that are in each of us. Lord, you know the people who are here that need you as their Savior. You know those that are here that need to just give their life back over to you and say, God, let's do it your way. Teach us, Lord. Give us what we need. Let the Holy Spirit minister to each of our hearts. Give us the courage to start looking, to see what areas you're just blessing and put your fingerprints of love all over us. Cause us to be thankful. Cause us to respond by worshiping and bowing our lives down to you as our King and our Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.